Exclusions apply. Macy's Star Rewards now offers perks everyone can love no matter how they pay. Sign up for free in-store or at Macy's.com/StarRewards.
Good morning, hello there, and ho, ho, ho to you. It's 9:46 at KSRO. Always a pleasure to have the amazing chef and amazing author, Michelle Anna Jordan, in the studio. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, and you're so kind. Thank you.
It's a lovely day to check in with Michelle. We're just a few days away from Christmas and all sorts of holiday celebrations. And Michelle brought in these beautiful little jars of what looks like it says on the top with the Michelle Anna Jordan logo, quince paste.
Yes, also known as membrillo if you have traveled to Spain or if you move in those circles.
What should I do with this quince paste?
Well, it's very sweet. It's almost like a hardened or firm jelly, a little tart. Mm-hmm. It's in Spain, it's often served with cheese, with manchego.
Oh, so I bet that is good.
Perfect with a cheese plate, some nice Sonoma County cheeses. Also, one time in the Madrid airport, I think it was, we were waiting for a flight, and we had a big salad that had little cubes of diced quince paste.
Oh,
so and fancy. I've been making the circuit in some craft fairs this year, selling my books, and I also made like 60 jars of quince paste.
60 jars.
Yeah, and that was like a tenth of my crop of quince.
How many quince trees do you have?
Well, I have four trees.
They're very prolific trees.
They are. Yeah. And the thing is, gophers don't eat them. And I live in gopher country.
Yeah, I can relate to that. Yeah. So that's very, very good. Is it mandatory, Michelle, when the holidays roll around and you're invited anywhere, that you must bring something extraordinary?
Well, I wouldn't say extraordinary. But for host and hostess gifts, mm-hmm. I think it's nice to bring something thoughtful.
Absolutely. And generally, it's something edible, I would imagine.
Usually, there are times when, if I know the person really well, maybe I give them a book that I know that they're going to love. But
it's a great gift.
Something edible, or if it's a person who is really, who's fond of cooking, there are some really nice implements in our cookware stores right now. And so something like that can make a nice gift if you know what that person will like.
Yeah, that's a good question. You have to kind of know how they cook and what they cook, right?
Yeah, but there's, for example, at Cultivate Home in Sebastopol, they have a spatula.
I am so into spatulas. I'm already thrilled without even knowing more.
Well, they have two metal spatulas that are the best spatulas ever. And so that makes a real... I just love mine.
Now, are they the big ones? Because I have a spatula at home that everybody who comes to my house makes fun of because it's about the size of a hubcap. Flat. You know. So I use it for pancakes.
Okay,
like
there you go.
Yeah.
Well, there are two. And one... Both have... slanted tips.
Oh.
That just works really well. And then one of them is about 3 to 4 inches at the end, mm-hmm. and it tapers down as you get to the handle, but it has it's almost like it's made of wire, but it's not. It's flattened steel.
What do you use that for?
Well, I actually use it for everything. It's ideal for... It's a fish spatula.
Okay, that
flipping
sounds like
fish.
It, yeah.
But I use it for omelets. I use it for so many different things. Then I have one that's really old that I found in a thrift shop, I think, that has that same slanted mm-hmm. edge, but it's a solid steel. And the secret of both of these is that they're very, very thin at the tip. So that allows you to flip that fish.
Get underneath something.
Flip those zucchini, that sort of thing. And they just work really well.
Well, I think that's not only those are great ideas for hostess gifts, but also stocking stuffers.
Stocking stuffers,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What are the three utensils you better have a good one of in your kitchen?
You have to have a good knife.
Yeah.
And a knife with a good blade that you know how to sharpen. But something that a lot of people forget is you have to have... a knife with a handle that fits your hand so that you can do all chores,
yeah.
Cooking chores or cooking techniques without your hand getting tired. So I would say that's the second most important thing, a good blade, of course, always, but you need that handle that feels good.
Is there a kind of knife that's going to serve those two purposes? Because, you know, for us lay people in the kitchen, both of those points make good sense. But is there somewhere we should we look for a specific kind of knife, a brand or something like that?
The brand that I loved for so long, Henkel's, is no longer a great brand. They sold and the quality has gone downhill. So I don't have one thing I do love, and I'm not going to remember the brand right now, but I can email it to you.
Okay.
They have a series of knives from Japan that are made out of porcelain.
Porcelain.
And the company, the distributor, is based in Novato. They're very responsive. They carry a lot of them at Cultivate Home. And I mentioned Cultivate Home. I teach a monthly cooking class there, and I live a mile from there. But the knives, number one, they're for vegetables, meat without bones, mm-hmm. but not for, you know, they can break that. Like if you drop it on the floor, it might break. But if that happens, the company will replace it. All you do is you send them a picture of the broken knife and they replace it. But it stays sharp for a very long time. But the thing that's really interesting is it causes no oxidation. And we have a farmer out in West County, George Macros, who has Earthworker Farms. Mm-hmm. He makes the finest salad mixes I've ever tasted. They're phenomenal. And he goes out, and he has a lot of microgreens. They're grown in the ground rather than in flats.
Right.
He saves seed. And when he's ready to harvest for his weekend farmers markets, he goes out there with a headband, flashlight.
Yeah, yeah.
At 2 a.m. and his porcelain knife. And he harvests everything by hand with his porcelain knife so that there is no oxidation in his greens. So his salad mixes and individual greens last longer than those that have been harvested with a metal blade.
Boy, that's a lot of trouble for a salad. You know it's got to be special, right?
It's really good. But anyway, back to knives. Those knives, I have two. I have what they call a tomato knife. Long, slightly serrated, you know, little serrations, and it just goes through tomatoes beautifully. But then I also have the larger all-purpose chef's knife, and I use
that's
it.
That's what you gotta have.
Stays sharp. So I recommend going somewhere that carries good knives. We have the over on Mendocino, mm-hmm. Sonoma Cutlery, I think it's called. They're fabulous. I've been buying knives for years, and tell them what you want.
Yeah,
tell
them what's your style of cooking.
Yes.
Yeah.
And ask them about helping you find one that fits in your hand comfortably. The mistake that I see most home cooks doing with knives, and I still owe you a third implement, is they choose a knife that's too small for what they want to do. And they balance the knife by putting their pointer finger on the blade.
Oh, that doesn't seem like a good idea.
Most home cooks do that. You want to hold your knife, the handle, with all four fingers and your thumb.
Yeah. That
and then
seems
typically
like better safety right
yes.
there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you actually you think you have more control with that finger out there, but you don't. You have more control. It just takes a little bit of awkwardness getting used to it. So almost always you want to choose a knife a little bit bigger than you think you're going to need. Just like a bowl for beating anything.
Yeah.
Home cooks tend to look for the smallest container possible that they can use.
That's true.
And you will transform your cooking if you drop that. If you start using larger containers.
More air, right?
More air and just more space.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe you're going to just mix a couple eggs for an omelet. Don't use a little tiny bowl that will just hold the eggs, because then they're going to slop out the sides. But you're also not going to get any action. You're not going to have room for any action.
All right, Michelle. We're here with Michelle Anna Jordan and talking about the holidays. So I'm going to give up the third implement for this. Now, when it comes to Christmas dinner, do we have to go big or don't go at all? Or is there a way to do it deliciously without pulling out all the stops?
My feeling is you can do anything you want to do. One of my most memorable Christmases, I spent the entire day alone. All my family were out of town. I decided not to do anything except work on my taxes.
Oh.
And I had steamed rice, grilled scallions, and salsa. And I just remember listening to the quiet and having a nice fire going and getting something done that was just a great weight lifted off my shoulders. Yeah. So no, you don't have to go big. Another thing I love to do on Christmas when I'm not by myself, I like crab. I either like crab on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
Yes.
A crab, a simple crab Louis. It's a thing of beauty.
Listen, I happen to know that Michelle Anna Jordan makes an incredible crab Louis because she's given us the recipe and I've tried it and it's fantastic.
Thank you.
You're right. That talk about local bounty.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So no, you don't have to pull out all the stops. It's fun. I love making the table look gorgeous. I love multi-course dinners, but I don't... I do it when I want to do it and it's the right thing. I don't do it when I don't want to do
it. When it's not mandatory. Yeah.
Yeah. It's whatever you do, it should be really enjoyable and fun.
Isn't it a great twofold idea for the holidays to not only, you know, give away some of the amazing bounty that we do have available to us, to others, family, friends who don't live here, and, you know, for their enjoyment, and also to support our local farmers and economy?
Absolutely. And there are a number of ways to do that. We have fabulous food producers, and a number of our farmers are doing value-added products. And one way, and I wrote about this recently, holiday on farm trails is really a great way to go. And what you do is you go to farmtrails.org and click on Holidays on Farm Trails, and the participating farms say exactly what they're doing and when. And I know a number of them will be open this weekend. And then say, take Tierra Vegetables, which is just off, just east of 101 near the airport. They have a number of products that you can that are shelf stable. So they have really good hot sauces and hot pepper jellies, and they're the company that really launched chipotle powder.
Wow.
As a thing.
Okay, I'm a believer. Just in the chipotle powder.
Nothing like it.
No kidding. I use it. I sprinkle it on everything. It's just so good. There is a great article in the Press Democrat that Michelle wrote about local bounty and how to take advantage of it in so many ways for gift ideas.
Go directly to the farms. Go to farm stands.
Yeah.
Even farmers markets. This farmers markets this weekend will have all sorts of wonderful options from stocking stuffers to major gifts. So I haven't been in a mall or a department store in 2 months.
Amen. And hopefully we won't have to be for the next 3 or 4 days either. And Michelle did share some recipes with us for the holidays. And thanks to our ace producer, Stacey James, those will be up on the KSRO website at KSRO.com a little bit later today. Always a pleasure to see
Great
you.
Great to see you. Thank you so much.
The merriest of holidays to you.
And to you. And all of your loved ones as well.
And if you know somebody who loves to cook, Michelle has how many cookbooks available?
24. Well, available right now. Right now I have 8 titles. And if anyone is interested in getting one for the next few days, I will meet anybody with and, you know, give you a signed book.
That's an offer you just can't refuse. Go out and make it a great Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow.
Crystal Clear FM at 103.5 and 94.5. Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO Santa Rosa.
From ABC News, I'm Scott Goldberg. The budget deal designed to prevent a partial government shutdown tomorrow at midnight might be in jeopardy. President Trump and House Republicans have been discussing details and the current lack of funding for his border wall, and he's back to insisting that without the money, he will shut things down.
Incoming Speaker Pelosi had some choice words to describe President Trump's continuing push for $5 billion in border wall funding.
This is, I think, whimsical on the president's part. He has a whim that he might not sign it. Let's get the bill first and then have a discussion as to what happens to it next.
The Senate passed a short-term bill that would keep the government open through February 8th, but the House hasn't taken it up yet as Republicans meet with President Trump about their remaining options. Allie Rogan, ABC News, Capitol Hill.
Trump administration has announced new rules for undocumented immigrants who cross into the U.S.
Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen telling Congress, from now on, any illegal border crossers from Mexico
may be returned to Mexico for the duration of their immigration proceedings.
Secretary Nielsen announcing a deal made with Mexico for those migrants to await amnesty hearings there, so the U.S. no longer releases them, hoping they show up for trial in the U.S. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Republicans continue to call for President Trump to reconsider withdrawing U.S. troops from Syria. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina.
None of us believe that ISIS has been defeated.
The president sent a tweet yesterday saying ISIS had in fact been defeated. The Pentagon disputes that. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says a summit between the president and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is still on for earlier next year.